So let's get started. Today's topic is empowering people, really moving from power over to power with. And David, this is just such an incredible seed in your work. Really the core of what you seem to be all about these days is with your whole company, truly, truly powerful people. So I just invite you to get us started here, maybe just a little bit more to let our group know kind of the shape of today's call. David and I will dialogue a little bit about this topic, and maybe we'll do some experiential thing. We'll just sort of see where things go, and then we'll open it up to the whole group for comments and questions and thoughts and so forth. So, David, get us started here with this whole idea of empowering people.
Yeah, you know, I, as a context for the call today, I want to tell two related stories, and I know some of you on the call have probably heard this, but I think it's worth repeating that a few years ago, I was doing some work with a group in Chicago, and we were having a conversation about what makes a great organization. And our conversation went right away to this word power, and there were two things about that that have ultimately led to this work and this call that we're doing today. The first thing was that we started talking about what power really is. And it became very clear very fast that power is something that you create with other people. Power is not something you do to other people. That we talked about what makes a great leader. And a great leader is someone who empowers other people. And what makes a great manager? Well, it's the same thing. Well, what makes a great community? Well, it's the same thing. It's a group of people that empower each other, that elevate each other to their best. And the second part of that conversation was about all of the trash, the negativity that we have around this word power, because our models of power are largely invested in power over someone, as opposed to creating power with somebody, as Alan introduced. So that got me thinking, and that actually led to almost all the work that I'm doing now is creating cultures of power with. And that leads me to the second story as context for our call, and that was shortly after that time in Chicago, I was working with fifth graders in an elementary school. And I wanted to see how accessible this idea of power over, power with was. And kids are a great test audience. They let you know right away whether what you're talking about makes sense or whether it's just, you know, loaded with a lot of hot air. And we were talking about this thing with power in terms of putting one fist on top of the other. You know, I asked the kid, what happens? You know, when somebody wants power over you, what happens? And their response was immediate. And they moved their bottom fist onto their top fist and said, well, then you have to get power over them. And then what happens? Well, the bottom fist went to the top fist. And this endless game of power over others. And I asked them, is anyone in that equation ever really powerful? And of course, they said, no, absolutely not. And that, in fact, what we have done in those relationships of power over is actually confused the word power with the word control, that power and control are two totally different things. And that power, as we discussed in the team in Chicago, is something that you create. It is something that you intend, and you create it with other people. It's not a controlling. There's no need to control. And so these dynamics of actually power and control are something very early when you start to create cultures of empowerment, or even within yourself. How do you create within yourself your most empowered self? And those are, you know, within an individual and in an organization, those are identical processes. And it begins with this concept of control. What do you control? What can you control? What do you think you can control that you can't control? Are you willing to let go of the things that you can't control and identify those things? And I think it's worth our time just for a moment as an exercise to grab a sheet of paper and divide it down the middle, and on one side of the sheet of paper write things I can control. And then on the other side of that line write things I can't control and need to let go. And just for a couple of minutes, brainstorm your list. What are the things in your life that you can actually control? And then on the other side, what are the things that you can't control, that you try to control, but you need to let go? We'll leave you in silence for a minute or so, and just start this list. Before Alan and I jump further into our dialogue, I'd love to hear from some of you about what you are finding on these lists of things that you can control, things that you can't control and need to let go. So if you have a comment, press 1 on your phone and we'll see your hand go up and we'll give you the mic. What are some of the things you're recognizing?
And what I'd like to invite us to here in terms of sharing this is not so much the story, the list of things that you can control and the things that it's time to let go of, but rather what's the message here inside that? As you look at what's on the page, what's the bigger message for you about that? That's something we can all learn something from. Let me give the microphone to Denise.
Hi, Alan. Hi, David. What came up for me immediately was the intention of how I start each morning is a very beautiful routine, and I can control how I enter that and how long it lasts and how I feel supported by that process.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Christine, you have the mic.
Thank you. So one of the things I noticed as I was glancing through my list is I can influence how I treat someone else, but I can't actually influence if they like me or not. So that might relate to how I treat them, but it might actually not. And I found that quite liberating.
Great point. Anyone else? Press 1 if you'd like to speak. Yes, Gabriella, you have the mic.
Yeah, thank you. What I realized writing this down, that the things I can't control and need to let go is all about the others.
Mm.
So that's a huge insight. I knew, but suddenly writing this, it is really touching me.
It's something so important that you bring, Gabriella, about, well, I knew this, but yet, you know, when we put it on the paper, when we put it down there and look at it, it really, somehow it comes through in a whole different way. Thank you.
Exactly.
Erica, you have the mic.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. This is Erica in Atlanta. I came a little bit late, but I especially had time to do this. So for me, something that came up very important is I cannot control people's self-awareness, you know. So if they are not prepared to face their own difficulties or their own challenge. I cannot control this, and I need just to let go.
Thank you.
Very insightful. I mean, I think all of these, everyone who's speaking is really getting to the essence. When you start looking at what can you really control in your life, and what can't you control, but you really try to control, like other people's thoughts, other people's perceptions, other people's feelings. That is actually that little moment of recognizing what you can control and what you can't control is where the path divides to whether you are going to go down a path of creating power with others or whether you are going to go down a path of needing to have control over others.
You know, David, there's something that strikes me is actually two things as we talk about this. One, just kind of an observation that realizing that trying to control things that we, in fact, cannot control is exhausting.
Yes.
That there's such an enormous drain of energy that's happening from that. And we're losing so much energy that we could actually be putting towards something else when we're trying to control something that, in fact, we can't control. But the second piece that maybe is an interesting kind of add-on before we move on to talking further about the power and control here is it strikes me that when we are busy trying to control something, that underneath that is because we're actually trying to protect something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if that's actually worth looking at for just a moment here. When you look at those things on your list of what you were trying to control but you can't control and it's time to let go of, just drop underneath that to ask, actually, what is it I'm trying to protect here? And as you recognize what it is that perhaps you're trying to protect, what insight does that give you about either your leadership or your role within a community or organization or what you might see with others who are trying to control something that is not there? What deeper understanding do you get about this when we come at it from this place of, we're actually trying to protect something? Just press 1 on your phone if you have an insight you'd like to share. Who can speak here? Yes, Denise again. You have the mic.
Oh, I was just racked with images of my 3 young adult children and watching each of them make choices that I try to think I'm helping or I'm giving them some ideas or some suggestions, and what I'm really doing is trying to protect them. That's a very good observation.
Great. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Who else? Yes, Gabriella, you have the mic. Gabriella, you have the mic.
Yes, Alan, I'm there.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
What I see underneath is that I was trying to keep everything in my own hands to have power with them. But the huge insight is, again, when I hold back and when I have, in another way, the power more than power with, then the real power is there. So I don't know whether I explained it right, but there was a huge insight. Having power over and controlling was my fear, and just being with the fear and just going with the power with the others, that is a huge power suddenly.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful observation too, what you said about power, wanting to protect the power with, actually. And that in itself can start to get us into trouble because, you know, just the protection itself, it's just really interesting. Rebecca, let me give you the microphone. Yes, you have the mic.
Okay. I started writing words like ego, image, reputation, and then it went into being fully seen, fully heard, and fully known. And actually, it's fear, protecting myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, I didn't mean to take us maybe off track here, but I
no,
I'm
that's
kind of
right on track.
Where this goes with you as well, when you think about the power, control, protect, where how does that fit in as you're working with empowering people?
I think that, that your question was right on the money in terms of what's beneath when you know the second question of why am I trying to control things that I can't control? What's beneath that? And I think your word protection is right on, because often when we're trying to control things that we can't control, we don't feel safe. Ultimately, that there is a fear. This word fear came up both with Gabriella and with Rebecca. That there is a fear of being seen. There's a fear of being exposed. There's a fear of, you know, that you start to recognize the minefield, the story minefield that you've created for yourself, that really invests in the idea that someone else's opinion of you is more important than your own opinion of you. And in fact, when you translate that to organizations, really, really dynamic functional teams are not investing their energy in what the other people think about them. They know that these people have my back, that I can make strong offers and they can reject it, and it has nothing to do with my worth or my value. And ultimately, that word worth or value becomes really crucial in terms of where are we placing that. There's kind of a placement to me when I'm working with either individuals or teams. Where are you placing your worth? That you're placing your worth in the hands of other people, you necessarily need to create power over structures, because you're going to try to control what they see. If you are actually placing your worth and your value in yourself, and that your team, your peers, your community are supporting you in doing that, and you're supporting them in doing that, you will very naturally create cultures of power with.
So then there's this whole parallel that's drawn here, or condition in a sense, that is seems to be required for creating power with, and that is there has to be a sense of not just self-worth, but self-confidence, of trust, as you said. Somehow safety, yes, but there's a way in which even in places where sometimes we don't necessarily feel safe, but if we trust in ourselves, we are willing to take that step forward. So I'd like to maybe separate here for a moment safety from trust. Mm-hmm. I think that can be two different things. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And
so
go ahead.
Well, just that to recognize that we all understand the importance of creating safety within a team, but there's also, when we are coaching leaders and when we are developing ourselves as leaders, to realize that when we can build such a strong sense of deep trust within ourselves, deep trust within our own inner knowing, and our sense of who we are and what it is actually that we bring to the table, then we're willing to step on out there, even maybe into a place that doesn't feel quite so safe, because what we're trusting in is who we are and what's inside of us, and perhaps the wave of potential that we're riding, as opposed to having to trust the energy in a particular group.
Right, and I think that there's, you know, I love paradoxes, because I think that a paradox is a signal that you're standing right on top of a truth. And in this case, you know, in separating these two words, safety and trust, there's to me a paradox. And one is that we can only know ourselves through other people's eyes, through the relationships that come back at us. And the relationship you have with yourself is more important than any of those other relationships. So there's a kind of both and capacity. And for me, in working with teams especially, the question is, what are you supporting each other in doing? I mean, it's a very easy and fun, actually, activity to do with people, to have them pay attention to what their conversations are about. And often their conversations are about their problems, their dramas. And their peers, almost 100% of the time, will reinforce in them their drama, reinforce in them the idea that they're not powerful. And when you start paying attention to those things, like we are in a relationship with someone and we're allying ourselves with the idea that we have no choice. We're allying with each other in the idea that someone has control over us. And when you just bring those awarenesses out and say, what would it look like if we allied with each other in our strength? What would it look like if we allied with each other in our magnificence, in our greatness? So that I'm not going to support you in your drama, and I want you to bust me when I'm investing in my drama. What do we start supporting each other in? And it's a small thing that leads to enormous internal changes, because when others are not supporting you in your drama or your victim state or your lack of control, you start to pay attention to your own story. How are you reinforcing yourself in either your power or your lack of power? I mean, the wonderful thing, when you know a powerful person when you meet them, because they're not expending any energy in the conversation about whether they're powerful or not. They know it. And they know it because they know that their intentions are genuine. They're really invested in what they bring to the world. They're not invested in what they get from the world. And so this dynamic of relationship with self, relationships with others, if I am powerful within myself, I will create powerful relationships with others. If I am having powerful relationships with others, I will create powerful relationships with myself. And so that question, with a team especially, what are you reinforcing each other in? What kind of relationship are you holding for each other?
So David, I'm wondering if we can explore this with just a little exercise here. I kind of have an mm-hmm. idea of if we're taking mm-hmm. Any situation or circumstance that you are in, all of us here on the call, any circumstance or situation in which you would like to be able to empower the people here, empower the other person or whatever the situation is, or even empower yourself. When we're coming from this idea of what is the story that you're reinforcing, in a sense, are you reinforcing the drama? Are you reinforcing the choice? If you just bring to your awareness a circumstance that you would like to make a difference in by empowering someone else or a group, I'll give you just a moment to let that come clear, what you would like to work with. And then imagine that circumstance floating out in front of you. And maybe you see it as a picture or just as a color or a shape or a form. Maybe it's just a feeling or an energy. Doesn't matter. It's just floating out there in front of you. And as you perceive it straight on, whether you're seeing it or just feeling it, what do you know right now, just as you come right straight to it, what do you know about a step you could take towards empowerment of others there? And then while that circumstance continues to float out there in front of you, imagine that you could just walk around to the side of it and look at it from the side. Feel it from the side. There's maybe a different insight, another awareness that comes about how you might empower. And then walk on around behind it. Be with this circumstance from behind. You observe from here. New insight comes for how you could empower this situation, these people. Now walk on around to the other side. There's another view from here, another sense of the energy from here. And what insight do you have from here about how you could better reinforce or reaffirm choice in this circumstance, as opposed to drama? Now imagine this circumstance floats up above you and you're looking at it, feeling it from underneath. You're down underneath it. Another insight that comes, perhaps, about how you could empower, you could affirm choice. Let that circumstance float back down, and you float up above it. Look down on it. It's another perspective that comes when you see it, feel it from above. What more do you know about how you can empower this situation, empower the people? And then come back to the place where we started, where that circumstance is floating out in front of you. And take all these perspectives, all this information that you've gathered. What do you know now that you didn't know before about how to empower, how to bring power with that circumstance? Again, letting go of the story here, and rather sharing with us, what's the learning that's coming up for you? Who can share with us your learning? Just press 1 on your phone, and I'll give you the mic. You discovering about how you can empower? I'm giving the microphone to Sue.
Well, I go back to what David said in the way of the energy about this and realizing how much energy this person is putting into this negative situation. And I'm trying to empower them to move beyond it. And I'm hoping that maybe that idea of that negative energy and how it can be used in other ways will get the attention of this is not serving. the situation. So that became clear in that process.
Great. And so, Sue, how can you empower them step beyond?
Right now, I'm hoping that it's an awareness piece of kind of taking them through maybe an exercise like this or figuring out for them to see how that energy can be used in different ways to not be as reactionary. So for right now, the way I'm looking at it, it's mainly a self-awareness piece. I'm not quite sure how else to get at it with him.
That's a place to start. Okay. Yeah. Susie. You have the mic.
Yes, this was most illuminating because I recognized that once I set up the energetic field, how the best I can serve all of the people that are there is for them to participate in the energetic field, the power of the potential. But just by them participating and not controlling where the energy goes, they come to their own sense of empowerment.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. And Darlene, you have the mic.
Yes, I love the whole concept of empowerment. But for me, what I realized, you know, some time ago is that the word empowerment begins with the little word me. So if you turn EM around, it says me. And so when I'm thinking about working with people and about the power and building their power, it starts with, as already been said, you know, the self-awareness of that person. So in this exercise, every angle that I looked at, every perspective was about seeing with them, where are they at? Where is the me in this? Because the power has to come from within. The change has to come from within. That's where the abundance is. It has to start with their intention. So for me to empower someone, I fundamentally believe that the power will come from themselves. I'm only the facilitator, and this exercise helped me to see that again.
Yeah, it's really about calling out that power from within them. Yeah, isn't it?
Yes.
That's beautiful how you're saying that. Thank you. Yeah, David, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Darlene, I'm clapping my flippers. I think you're right on. That the change always has to come from within the other person, that you can't make that happen. You can facilitate their awareness. But it really, ultimately, they need to change their story. You can't change their story.
Mm-hmm. And it sort of comes back to what Sue was just talking about as well, because it's mm-hmm. you know, as she said, you know, to guide the person through an experience or whatever, but to help them discover. It's about mm-hmm. them discovering the awareness there. Where does that take them? We have one other hand, Jolynn. Let me give you the mic. You have the mic, Jolynn.
Hi there. How is everybody? My comment is a little separate from what the feedback I've been hearing. The field that I work in is a sales-type field. And in my opinion of empowering others is kind of when I'm dealing with colleagues. And I have become recently kind of resentful of colleagues in my field over the past year or two. It's something I've been really working on, trying to develop stronger ethics in my field and so forth. And one thing colleagues tend to do is, you know, how's business? And a lot of them will do it because they're comparing themselves to another person to see if they're measuring up or in a condescending manner. And I became very kind of resentful of those comments when other people would want to talk about business or how's business or business is terrible. With the economy the past couple of years, and I refuse to accept it, and there's just got to be a way to make this better. And so I kind of think that maybe next time that question is posed, instead of me saying I don't discuss it, it's not professional, I can turn it around and empower them, because I think that's really what they're searching for, is some type of empowerment personally. Like, I've learned to be happy with my own goals and myself and reach my own goals and not compare myself to others. And maybe that's really all they need as well. And maybe I can in some way empower my colleagues in that way.
Thank you. Thank you. So, David, where's all this taking us?
Well, it comes back around to me to there are some simplicities. You know, I have a friend, Joe, who says that the only choice you really have is where you place your focus, is the way that he says it. And in some ways, I know that's a simplicity, but a lot of what we're talking about is where are we placing our focus? And, you know, as Jolynn just brought up, or Darlene, you know, empowerment starts with me. It's where do you place your focus? And a lot of times, I believe, you know, that the process begins with making this distinction between what you can control and what you can't control. And once you make that distinction, there's a very specific placement of your focus, an awareness that starts to happen on what are you trying to get from the world, or are you focused in what you bring to the world? And one of those, when it's kind of translate, these things sort of fall into columns for me right now, that if I am in the world focused on what I get from it, I am going to create power over structures, a story of power over. My focus is going to be on outcomes, which means I'm going to be separate from my happiness and my power. It's a separation story, ultimately, is what I'm getting to. That a focused placement on a story where you are separate from your power, where you are separate from your worth, where you are separate from your happiness, all falls into that kind of structure that you set up with where you place your focus. And on the other hand, when it becomes about really looking at what do you bring to your life, what do you bring to your world, you become very process-focused. You really become invested in the quality of the relationships that you generate, and especially the relationship you have with yourself. I mean, that becomes the primary. I hear a lot of times, well, doesn't that make me selfish? And no, that makes you powerful. That is exactly what makes you powerful, when you are really focusing on your gifts and how you best bring those to the world, and detach from the idea that you can control how that gift is accepted. That's not yours to do. Yours is to bring your gift. And
you know, David,
go ahead.
As you're talking about power in this way, the word I keep hearing is generous or generosity.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's also not a word that we tend to associate with power so often.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we're thinking power over, then if anything, it's the opposite of generous. You know,
it's
tight, it's narrow, it's contained, it's coming from a place of scarcity. And when you are finding yourself feeling powerful in this most authentic way, as you're speaking of, and power with, then there is a generosity of spirit there. There is that desire to, in fact, come from the place of what can I contribute here, as opposed to what can I get out of this.
Right.
So that's just that word generosity comes so strongly there.
And it's what I love about that word is, and this is true, you know, I that word comes up a lot when I'm working with artists who are blocked, or in this kind of culture change of a power over to a power with culture. That word, I think, comes up in a lot of different ways in terms of surviving or thriving. A kind of generosity or spaciousness is another way of talking about that. And the, you know, again, to bring it back to this story of self, that when you can be generous with yourself, when you can create spaciousness for yourself and within yourself, you actually have a greater capacity to create that kind of generosity in your relationships and spaciousness in your world. And that is part of what you bring, is a kind of abundance of of idea and energy, and you know, you thrive. You get out of that power over thing, which is I think you're right on. It's a scarcity. It's a survival mentality. It's a exhaustion of energy going into withholding or masking or, you know, whatever controlling word that applies in the particular circumstance.
So as we kind of begin to circle back around here and wrap this up today, I'm already feeling this place of where this might go for next month's call. And
yeah.
I'm wondering if you could come back and speak a little bit again about early on in the call you talked about power over happened in some one way, and power with was about creating. It was about creating power. Can you talk about that distinction again a little bit? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Is that
I think you know, one of the reasons that I use this word power with others, it's not something that anybody does by themselves. That's actually part of the equation. Nobody is powerful alone. That's the real mistake that we make when we think that power over is actually power. Power over is always control. It's a mistake. It's something that you're taking from others, as opposed to something that you create with others. Powerful people are powerful because they create powerful people. That there's a generativity in the relationships always, always, always. And powerful communities are powerful because they're creating it. It's not something that they find. It's not something that you seek and you get. It is something that you generate.
So here's where this is taking me, and to sort of open a door perhaps for where we might go on next month's call. And when we come to this from the frame of transformational presence work, and mm-hmm. we're always talking about potential and coming from the potential-based approach, we're paying attention to what wants to happen here, what is the emerging potential, and how do we partner with that energy and follow it forward. So what I'd like to invite here is, what if we've talked about power over is something then that you're, it's taking power from somebody else and holding on to it for yourself. The power with is something that we're generating together. You keep using this word generativity and how we're generating that together. And so it's a power that we own collectively, in a sense, maybe you could say, as opposed to it belonging to any one person. And what if there was another step beyond that, that when we're asking that question, what wants to happen here, what is the greatest potential wanting to emerge, that there is a power in that wave of energy that doesn't belong to any of us and yet is there for us to ride?
Mm.
So what if in organizations we were starting to come from that place? Nobody had the hierarchical power. It's not about that. It's about the power of what's wanting to happen next. What is this project we're working on? What is the energy of that project? That's where the power is. And it's there for us to ride. Does that make sense? When this
makes perfect
power
sense.
Conversation.
And I think to just put a different language on it, because I think that's exactly what happens, that power with facilitates a kind of movement. It actually, the whole experience of creating power with others is that things start to move, that flow starts to happen. And power over does the opposite. It restricts movement. It fixes
yeah.
things.
So if we take that one more step then beyond the power with, which is generative and gets the flow going and a lot of things start to happen, then to realize that if there is another level of power that we could actually surrender to
mm-hmm.
that can carry us in a much more amazing way even than the power that we might generate together.
Right. There's I think about these things in terms of relationships. So that so that, for instance, you have a relationship with control. You know, that's the point of dividing up your piece of paper. What is my relationship with control? And I can actually create the relationship that I want with control by controlling the things that I can control, what I think about myself. You know, the list, somebody in the past said, they looked at their list and said, wow, you know, the things that I can control have everything to do with me, and the things I can't control have everything to do with everybody else. And I thought that was a beautiful simplicity. So you have that relationship, and that relationship leads to something that you speak so beautifully about, and that is your relationship with choice. That you can't really come to a clear relationship with choice until you have determined and begun to work on this relationship with control. One leads to the other. And that place of choice, I think, opens up what you're bringing in terms of a deeper level of power that comes when you surrender the things that you can't control, when you actually start to release and dedicate your energy to that kind of greater, deeper movement.
So it kind of takes us back. I can't remember who it was. Maybe Darlene, who was talking about empowerment and me, the EM becoming the ME. If it wasn't Darlene, I'm sorry, whoever that was. But maybe it's the place to wrap this today of this whole idea of empowerment and being able to empower others does, in fact, start with me. It starts with each one of us and who we choose to be within whatever's going on and what relationship we choose to have with that. So it comes back to the choices that we make about control and not control, protection and no need to protect, all those things. It comes back to us. What is the initial choice we make within ourselves in order to then be able to call forth that power to from others and to move into that place where we are empowering other people.
Very much. I think that's exactly it. I mean, I think, you and I talk about this all the time about, change your story and you will change the world. And how often the very thing we need to do is kind of the last thing that we recognize that we need to do, which is to change your story, change your relationship with yourself, change your relationship with choice, change your relationship with control. And that, in fact, is changing your world because you are going to be in it in a different way and bring to it a different thing, a different quality.
Well, let's open this up to everyone again just for another couple of minutes, simply to what is one takeaway for you today? Something that's empowering you today. Just press 1 on your phone if you'd like to speak. We have a lot of people on the call. It would just be great to hear from you. Something that you are taking away from this dialogue today. Yes, Sue, you have the mic. Sue? You have the mic?
Yep, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I love the comment of surviving versus thriving. I thought that was a great comment because you just hear those words and there's two different things going on there. And really like this paradox is a signal that we are standing on a truth. And I just really like that concept.